I guess. Pardon?
Blog Talk Radio.
Good heavens, we have parties to go to.
There is a sixth dimension beyond that which is known to men. It is a dimension as immense as the sky and as perpetual as eternity. It is the middle ground between illumination and darkness, between knowledge and ignorance. It lies between the depths of man's horror and the apex of his learning. This is a dimension of fantasy. It is an area which we call the Eerie Zone.
About the eeriest thing is you've just been invited to three, not one, not two, three Halloween parties tonight. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show and Eerie House. Here along with...
I only got an invitation to two. I'm Dave from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here with...
I only carry the one. It is I, got the gold. Blay, blay, it to you all.
That's where it went.
Yeah.
There you go.
Gar wasn't supposed to get any. No.
Hello. Boy, boy.
Sorry,
hey.
It's a mix up at the post office.
Where am I?
Post
where are you guys?
There.
Over there?
Ohio. Mm-hmm. Where else?
Yeah.
Ohio.
What else would
nice
we need?
Place, isn't it?
Because all roads, as we found last night, once again, we were re-reminded.
Lead from Cleveland, yes.
And to Cleveland. And about Cleveland.
Oh,
there you go. So we got three stories, all titled Halloween Party. We're going to visit with Archie Andrews, Charlotte Greenwood, and Gildy, the great Gildersleeve.
Ah, I get to hear him yell for Leroy, probably.
That's right, that annoying kid.
I knew none of the background behind the Gildersleeve when I was first exposed to the radio program. I just enjoyed it. And just something about the lilt in his voice and the whole thing. It was so funny.
Yeah, he's
definitely
a character.
When he was replaced in 50 by Willard Waterman, who actually looked a lot like him, the one thing he wouldn't do was the Gildersleeve laugh. He said, that belongs to Hal. The whole reason he left is many people were leaving the network, NBC, to go to CBS, because CBS was working on transitioning people to television, where NBC was not ready to do that yet, at least not with that show. And so he signed a contract with CBS, and the sponsor decided, wait a minute, we don't want to leave NBC. So the rest of the show was stuck back on NBC, and he was stuck on CBS, so they moved him. So he got a different show on CBS, Honest Hal Perry. The Hal Perry Show, and they got a new Willard Waterman who sounds so much like him that sometimes it's hard to tell the two apart.
Yeah. Very iconic character. Also, one of those characters that just appeared a whole lot in Warner Brothers cartoons as a foil to Bugs Bunny, usually.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In the wings, we have good old Bob, and of course, Frogsbane, who's been really busy making miniature radios. Or TVs.
Television.
Turn on
television.
And go.
Those are great. I just got a good look at those a little bit ago here. Matter of fact, I was late getting to the Eerie House because I was stuck watching Frogsbane's amazing videos there.
The man is a wizard. A technological wizard.
That's right.
He's everything I wish I could be with technology. making cool stuff.
The big side to that you don't see is the programming that goes in with it. I had a hand in programming back in college in the early hundreds, 1462 or something like that, and because I had to program a talking skull. But what Frogsbane's doing is wow, so over the top.
Yep,
so amazing.
Yep,
cool.
And you know, Bob's on an uploader for some avian radio from Vietnam.
He also told on you where you got, yes, it was all a bad dream from. It was an episode of Chicken Man. He put up the link up there.
I had said that at the onset.
I forgot.
Yes.
But that's a good setting.
No,
use,
Dale, you just had a dream. You just had a dream, a bad dream.
But that was
a bad dream.
That was a good dream.
It was such a, that whole Chicken Man, such little short little things, and they were so funny. And I would play them ad nauseum, apparently. I had a roommate a long time ago. I was like, would you stop playing Chicken Man? It's driving me crazy. And I was, okay, sure, no more Chicken Man. I'll put in the headphones.
No, Bob, I can relate to that, that you found that, because I always have that feeling of great discovery whenever I find a Goulardi or Ghoul reference somewhere in a song. And so many I found here with Dave doing old-time radio. Stuff that Rod Sweet had taken from those records of Stan.
Comedy Records. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Stan the Man from her. Yep.
Goulardi was the guy that was a gold turn blue. That guy?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Turn blue, you can.
Stay sick and turn blue.
He was laid back. Yeah. The Ghoul was kind of a spaz. He was really high energy as opposed to.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was.
He was. The little Ghoul was kind of Goulardi on steroids, you know?
Or amphetamines. Yeah. Something.
Well, the Rod Swede's Ghoul was, that was his own creation, wasn't it? Or was that
he was a gopher for Ernie Anderson on the Goulardi show. Opened up mail.
Oh, okay.
He showed up in a gorilla costume that he quote unquote found.
He said, "Found in the trash." Yeah, that's what he said.
Someone threw away a perfectly good gorilla suit. But in any event, Goulardi was so impressed, he let him hang around and open mail and bring him stuff and whatever. And later, when Goulardi went off to California to make some real money, Ron at that time was a college student. He just graduating with broadcasting
from Bowling
and stuff.
Green.
And said, "Yeah,
from
I want to
Bowling
do a show."
Green. Yeah.
Yep. And he said, "Well, don't call it Goulardi." He says, "Shorten it to why don't you call yourself the Ghoul?" So the Ghoul was born.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Or hatched. So yeah, he had a direct connection to the Goulardi show.
Transmogrified. Yep. Yes.
And did Tim Conway through that? Tim Conway's the one that actually helped get him into Bowling Green. That's where Tim Conway went to school.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yep, and one of the live comedy records that the two of them recorded together was recorded at Bowling Green.
Hmm.
Mm.
I remember hearing one of those albums on a flight.
Really?
I believe it was in the early 80s, I was married to my first wife. We were flying to Florida for our honeymoon. and right there on the headset, I'm listening to Ernie Anderson and Tim Conway go at it. It was funny as heck. It was a very enjoyable flight, thanks to that.
Yeah, one of those was where Ernie, Tim Conway was Superman. And and Ernie was interviewing him as Superman. Oh,
yep.
God, I've heard that.
Very funny.
Yeah.
A lot of hang-ups being a Superman.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of hang-ups. Yeah, yeah.
We never knew. A whole lot of radio, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
Whole lot of radio. We do.
We had a lot last night. Gar, you missed out. We had Casey, the rock and roll Casey, here last night. A good music show. It was so nice visiting with him again. More fun with these Halloween parties. Where shall we begin? Whose house shall we visit first? I say save Gildy for last.
Okay. You know what? I was not familiar with Charlotte Greenwood. So why don't we start off there?
Oh,
or do you want to go to Archie first?
Do
you want to go to Archie first, Gar?
I'm up for grabs. You spin the dial. Make the deal.
Well,
let's satisfy
curiosity.
I'm familiar with Archie.
Esteemed partner, Dave Binkley with Charlotte Greenwood. This is from October 28th of 1945.
Whenever you have occasion to send a card, remember a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. And here she is, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood.
Three children who think they are too grown up to enjoy Halloween.
Well, I see you're all set for Halloween.
Oh, I've got everything I can think of for the party. Favors, games, and decorations.
Well, you certainly look beautiful.
Oh?
I wonder why I've never noticed it before, Mrs. Greenwood.
Well, you've never seen me standing next to a pumpkin before. And it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, you're sorry.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now to the little town of Lakeview, where Aunt Charlotte is raising the Barton children, little Robert and teenage Barbara and Jack. Aunt Charlotte is just getting off the train from Hollywood and can hardly wait to see the children. And as she scans the platform, she hears Barbara shout,
"Oh, there she is! Aunt Charlotte! Aunt Charlotte!"
Oh, Barbara! Say, Robert, let me give you a good big hug.
Oh, gee, it's good to see you again. Oh, Aunt Charlotte, you look wonderful.
Yes?
So glamorous, exotic. And 20 years younger.
Oh, wait till the smoke from the train clears away. Where are Sylvester and Jack?
Sylvester's out doing the marketing, and Jack... Well, Jack left the house early this morning before your telegram came. Even before the rest of us got up.
Well, that doesn't sound like Jack.
Aunt Charlotte, I guess you better wait here till the porter brings your luggage. Tell us about Hollywood, Aunt Charlotte. I bet when you got off the train in Hollywood, you were completely surrounded by photographers.
How did you know?
Isn't it always like that?
No, the first trip I made to California, I was completely surrounded by Indians.
Charlotte, is it hard work making a picture?
Oh, every day I was up at the studio at 6 a.m., then I had to wait for hours.
For the producer to get started with you?
No, for the makeup man to finish with me.
Oh.
Now, darlings, now tell me something about you.
Oh, there's nothing to tell.
Nothing?
Things have been very dull, very boring, and very monotonous.
Yeah.
So?
Oh, well, I see. Well, Barbara, that... hairdo of yours, is that a way of relieving the monotony?
Oh, wearing my hair this way makes me look so grown up and sophisticated. Not every girl could wear a hair this way.
No, if I wore my hair that high, I'd be a traffic hazard to airplanes. Now, what took Jack out of the house so early this morning?
I don't know. He's been acting so strange lately. He's almost never home, and he won't say what he's up to.
Have you asked him?
Yes, but I can't get a definite answer. Aunt Charlotte, are the men you know evasive or definite?
Both. I can't pin them down, and they don't pin me up. Children, I could hardly wait to get back to you, and isn't it exciting?
What else?
It's Halloween.
Halloween. That's just for children.
Yeah, well, you can still count me in.
Well, perhaps you'll have a wonderful time this year.
But I won't.
And I won't either.
But what about the Halloween party at the country club?
Everybody else is going, but me. I'm too young. I'm too young for anything.
That's a complaint that ends with you.
There are two reasons why I'm not there. One, Mr. Taylor didn't ask me. And two...
You're not going to ask him.
Here's your luggage, Miss Greenwood. Happy fun, Halloween.
What's happy about it? That's what I say.
Well, in spite of you two old people, this kid is going to have some fun.
Oh, it's good to see you, Sylvester. Is Jack home yet?
Jack? No.
What is all this mystery?
The normal thing was, the normal.
Well, have you done anything about it?
Yes. I've been wondering.
That's nice.
You remember that girl Jack sort of took up with before you left?
Oh, you mean that southern girl with the jewels and the Paul Lellamy?
Yes, that's one. You're just enough and pretty serious.
Oh, well, Sylvester, when a boy's 17, it's never anyone interests for very long.
Love's very peculiar, Miss Greenwood. Hits some people one way, hits some another.
Miss me entirely.
Well, now, say it. With Jack, it's different again, Miss Greenwood. All he does is eat.
Eat?
Yeah, he's always munching on something. For dinner tonight, he wants a rare hamburger with an egg on top, mashed potatoes, macaroni, chocolate pudding, lemon rind pie, French pastry, and a big bowl of ice cream.
Does he eat the bowl, too? But, Sylvester, that doesn't sound like love. That sounds like a growing boy. But why does he leave so early in the morning?
I don't know.
Well, where does he go?
I don't know.
Well, why is he making the whole thing a big mystery?
Yes, he is, and all that much.
Oh, fine.
Well, I'd better get back to the kitchen. Taste that. Especially hungry tonight.
Oh, Charlotte, I am tough to say.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. Oh, it is grand to be home.
Yeah. Oh, I could think it would be a lot more fun to be in Hollywood. Something exciting happens there all the time.
Oh, my last day in California was the most exciting of all.
Oh, what happened?
The sun came out.
Movie star. Then Mickey Taylor would take notice of me.
Uh-oh.
I made over my blue evening dress just because he said he liked it. Because he did. And in the meantime, I'm not getting any younger, you know.
That's right, dear. An old high school alumnus like you, class of June 1945.
Well, let's face it, darling. It's a man's world. It was that way when I was a youngster, and I dare say that's the way it will always be.
Now, Barbara, Mickey's head may be temporarily turned by some young flirt, but he'll wake up. He'll realize he needs a woman like you. He's been through life and seen things. Someone he can turn to for advice, a woman of maturity and judgment.
Oh, wouldn't you think he'd know that by now? And invite me to the Halloween dance?
He could go with someone else.
No. As long as Mickey hasn't asked me, I won't go at all. I'll just smile and hold my head up and pretend I don't care.
Now, Barbara, darling, sometimes out of pride, people shut doors that are open to them without knowing what's on the other side of that door. They say, I'll have this or I'll have nothing. And by that, they limit the happiness that would otherwise come to them.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, if only Mickey weren't so wonderful. Every time I look at him, I think he'll melt.
I'd love to be melted down and rebuilt.
Oh, I'll go, Aunt Charlotte. Maybe it's Mickey. Maybe he's coming to ask me to the Halloween party. Maybe after all... Oh, it's Gertrude Gleason.
Hello, Barbara. Hello, Miss Greenwood. Oh, I'm so excited. I mean, I am.
Jack perfectly promised to take it to the Halloween dance, and now he says he can't take it. And I mean, Janet's really broken hearted. I mean, I think it's cruel the way Jack
very dry because of that Southern girl, Clara Dale. I mean, it really is. I mean, it is really.
But are you sure that's the reason? Down to the swimming pool, and first I sat and dangled my toes at the shallow end, and then I went in wading.
Can you swim at the deep end?
That's where I was wading. No, now first you tell me about you, Robert. Now, how are you and the arithmetic getting along?
Well, I'm beginning to catch on. Sometimes I didn't get the right answers.
Robert, I'm glad.
Isn't that, Charlotte? It's super having you home again.
That's what I've been waiting to hear you say ever since I got back. All the time I was in Hollywood, I kept thinking of my best role.
Me?
Mm-hmm. And it made me warm inside to know that when I got my job done, that I was coming back as fast as I could to you and Jack and Barbara and home.
Home. That's kind of a funny word, isn't it, Aunt Charlotte?
A funny word, Robert?
Mm-hmm. Everything was just the same here while you were gone. The same chairs and the furniture and everything. But gosh, Aunt Charlotte, they didn't see this thing because you weren't here.
Yes, Robert, that is the sweetest thing anyone ever said to me. But now I am home again, and it's Halloween. It's going to be
tonight. Halloween, it seems fun. Mayor Hamilton says he won't let us take soap in windows, roll on the streets, and dump garbage cans or anything.
Well, fun is only fun when it's fun for everyone, not just you and your pals. We didn't soak windows last year, and we still managed to have a lot of fun. Don't blame Mayor Hamilton.
Well, when I grew up, I'm not going to vote for Mayor Hamilton.
Well, you've got quite a few years before that, Robert.
Charlotte, how long have you been voting?
Since they passed the woman's suffrage amendment.
How old were you then?
I was in favor of it.
How's the number one guy on my hit parade?
I'm listed on everybody else's.
Oh, Jack, darling, I've been longing to see you.
Why didn't you tell a fellow when you were coming? I'd have been down to the station with a brass band and a dozen roses.
I telegraphed that you left this morning before the wire came.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, but I...
Jack, what have you been eating? What is in that paper bag?
Bag? Oh, bananas.
Bananas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I gotta go over to Randy's house and see if we can't pick up something to do for Halloween. Gosh, there's just nothing left for kids to do.
Nothing?
See you later, Aunt Charlotte.
Guess I better be going too, Aunt Charlotte.
But, Jack, wait a minute. Now, Gertrude Gleason told me that Janet Gregory is very disappointed that you aren't taking her to the Halloween party.
I can't take her, Aunt Charlotte. It's just that I feel different about things, that's all.
You do, Jack?
And it wouldn't be right to take her. I mean, it wouldn't be ethical. Well, you've given a promise to someone.
What sort of a promise, Jack?
Gee whiz, Aunt Charlotte, weren't you young once?
Yes, but once wasn't enough. Now, about that promise you made.
Well, I'll get her up the same world. Oh, I'm going anyway. I'll get her, Sylvester. Excuse me, Aunt Charlotte. So long.
Sylvester, how long has this mystery business been going on?
So long, Miss Greenwood. So long. Only began to notice a short time ago.
Well, Matilda Hamilton said a mother couldn't stay away from her children too long.
Don't know what to do, Miss Greenwood, don't know.
Well, I know. As soon as Jack gets off that phone, I'm going to keep those wires hot myself. And, Sylvester, we're going to have fun this Halloween if I have to ride a broomstick over the moon.
Well, maybe she will. We'll be back. She'll be back to let us know if she's riding a broomstick over the moon or a pogo stick
interesting,
or something.
Yeah, interesting a bit about Charlotte. Again, I didn't really know anything about her, but she was a big nightclub plays. She was kind of her tall, elastic jointed nightclub dancer. And Zanny, she could kick her head, her leg up over her head well into her older age as well. Which is odd because she's really playing almost a straight role in this particular sit. And I just thought it was so interesting that as basically she had a good nightclub out scene, and yet here she is basically being the straight person in here. So very interesting.
She must have been really limber. I saw some of those pics of her doing the high kicks. I mean, she could have been on the Avengers, man.
Yeah, she could have given Miss Peel a run for her money.
Yeah, there you go.
It's funny that although she died in 1978, her death was not reported to the public until Valentine's Day, 1979. Her obituary appeared in the New York Times, saying that she had no known survivors and she had left her personal papers to playwright William Luce as per her final wishes.
Interesting.
She could have left them to us, you know.
Yeah. My memory is beating me up. What's her name?
Charlotte Greenwood.
Okay.
Yeah.
She did some...
I got lost
great
in my
things.
Own head.
Yeah, she... But she, yeah, she actually was. She also had a prominent part in the Broadway version of Yenny Get Your Gun. At the insistence of Ethel Merman, the part kept getting pared down and down to almost nothing. When the dispirited Greenwood gave co-producer Richard Rodgers notice, a sympathetic Rodgers said, "Letty, I can hardly blame you." And Letty was a character she did on Broadway that was so popular. And again, a lot had to do with how elastic she was, moved and kicked and danced and things like that. I guess the male counterpart I would think to that would be like what Ray Bolger was able to do. His dance was very loose, limber type thing.
Oh, yeah. He was amazing.
Some sources say she was almost 6 foot tall. Good grief.
Yeah.
Dude had no cartilage.
Or no, double jointed.
In his entire body, he had zero cartilage.
Oh, my. Yeah, just a little bit on the amazing Charlotte Greenwood that I never heard of. Tell Dale brought her here to Erie House. Thank you, Dale.
Yep. We're having our own little Halloween party. We're bobbing for French fries. You know,
I know.
My house, I'm a little disappointed. This house, although I love it, it kind of ruins Halloween because I have a cement porch. I miss the old wooden porch because you could put a nice layer of Vaseline right on there. So when the kids come to the door, you know.
You can do that with cement.
You can. You might have some muffins there, but.
Yeah. And this year, we're giving coleslaw. That's right. We're just slapping it right in the bag, scooping it up then. Right in there.
At least you should put it in a Ziploc baggie or something, Dale. Come on.
No. Just scooping it in there. It's a healthy choice. Coleslaw for the kids. Coleslaw for the kids this Halloween.
Eggs for your windows. That's where that was.
Yeah.
Trick or treat. Here's your trick, buddy. Yeah.
People that would give away, like, boxes of raisins. Okay, raisins are okay, but you're going to get an egg. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's raisins that
and
make.
And if that egg. And it,
plus raisins and bread.
And if that
so
egg happens,
wonderful.
And if that egg happens to have a rock in the center, oh, well. You get what you do. There you go.
More raisins. Fat, juicy raisins.
Well, yeah. Yep. Oh, no, there's actually, like, these little, they call them, like, snack bags or something, and it's salad. And it's like, you're getting an egg. You're getting an egg.
Yeah, Mom, that's what I want for lunch at school.
Gar is the only one I know who buys more eggs. Gar's the only one I know who buys more eggs at Halloween than he does at Easter time. That's all I got.
That's right. What is it? There it is. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Halloween bunny. The Halloween bunny has to drop his stuff off somewhere, right? Why not, guys? Gar's
right. That's right. And see, when I went trick or treating back in 1928 or whenever it was, I had one plastic jack o' lantern for the candy, and another one was filled with eggs. I was ready.
No. Eggs. Were you doing naughty things with those eggs?
Yes, he was.
Good man.
I was giving penance to those that needed it. That's what I was doing.
Pants? What?
Penance. tenor.
Oh. Pants. Why are you giving away pants?
I'm not giving my pants to anybody.
Yeah,
I'm
good. Yeah, that's
my
why
pants.
That's the year Gar lost his haberdashery. Yes.
Yes. That's my hat. Wait, what?
They have a lot of haberdash there, from what I understand.
I'm keeping my pants and my hat. How's that?
You had a hat.
There you go.
You had a hat.
Had a hat. Best joke ever. Best joke ever. One of them, I tell you. One of my
favorites. Never stop referring to the hat.
Yes. And so this is actually more of a family-oriented radio program. Ow.
Yes.
But they tossed
hurts,
in. Women's suffrage got tossed in there. And I was like, oh, wow. Well, there you go.
She was making a joke about her age, I think.
Right, right. Oddly, if you were to ask a bunch of youngsters what women's suffrage was all about, it's like, well, we hope they don't suffer too much, you know. That's not what we're talking about.
How long was he married to her?
Yeah. There's some suffrage right there.
Yeah. Hello. Am I wrong? Was it me that threw you guys to Hagel's Halloween Happening years ago?
Yes, it was you.
Yes,
it was you.
It is your fault. I mean, yeah, it was you.
We'll never forgive you.
Yeah. You guys are talking about, we want all these, we like some Halloween themed stuff. It's like, oh, I've got Halloween themed stuff. I got Hagel's Happening. And, man, those things are a treasure trove.
I've been digging into those ever since you sent them, Dave. Gar. Every Halloween I use at least one, and today it's all three.
There you go.
We might as well wrap up part two of
Charlotte
Greenwood.
A lot of radio. That guy too.
When people neglect their friends on those occasions when they should remember them, you know, it isn't always a matter of thoughtlessness. For often people are shy about expressing themselves. Somehow they can't seem to find a word to interpret what's in their heart. Yet a card could speak for them so easily. And at your Hallmark dealers, there's always a card that says just what you want to say, just the way you want to say it. Is there someone you know who is ill? Perhaps facing many months in the hospital, among your dealer's fine selection of Hallmark tear cards, you'll find a card to convey your own comforting get-well message, or choose a gay, humorous tear card. A Hallmark wedding card can help you in wishing happiness to the bride. Your beautiful Hallmark card will bring your congratulations in perfect taste. And so it is with the best wishes you want to send on your friend's anniversary, or when a certain bundle from heaven arrives. Yes, whatever the occasion, you'll find an appropriate Hallmark card. Make your selection this week. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now back to the Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. Aunt Charlotte is hurried home from Hollywood, only to find all three children behaving strangely and not looking forward to a happy Halloween. It's late afternoon. Aunt Charlotte has just completed the last of a long series of telephone calls as Sylvester enters.
Miss Greenwood, is Mrs. Hamilton to see you?
Oh, hello, Charlotte.
Oh, my, I'm glad you phoned me. It's so good to have you home again.
Hello, Matilda. Well, I'm glad to see you. You know, I've got a thousand things to ask
now. First, let me look at you, Charlotte.
My goodness, every time you go away, you come back a new woman.
Not you, just recap.
Matilda, I want to talk to you about the children, about what's happened, and then about Halloween.
Well, now, before we go into all that, tell me something about Hollywood.
My revenge is the excitement. Those super colossal premieres they have out there. Thousands of fans lining the streets.
The first one I went to, a little boy rushed up to me
to get your autograph.
No, he wanted to sit on my shoulder and watch.
But tell me now about this Halloween business.
Well, the mayor is certainly trying to keep things under control. But some of the boys are already building bonfires, moving gates, and kicking coops.
Well, I know. Robert is unhappy, Barbara is confused, and Jack has turned himself into a walking mystery.
Gosh, Mrs. Hamilton.
Hello, Robert. What's the
with kids anyway. Can't get a fellow to leave the house. Not much of a Halloween when the mayor says we can't have any fun. The fellows are scared.
Well, the mayor didn't say we couldn't have any fun, Robert, did he, Matilda?
Well, of course not, Charlotte. He just wants them to be sensible.
Well, he won't let us have the kind of fun we want to.
Well, what's this about somebody being scared, Robert?
Oh, Randy's scared. He says there's a lot of goblins and witches flying around his window. He won't come out. I guess they could see a fellow if he was afraid.
Yes, Robert, fear of the unknown. Why, that's why our yesterdays never frighten us, but our tomorrows just scare us to death.
I'm just scared because I'm scared there isn't going to be any Halloween to scare us by.
Charlotte, that's a lot of fear without any fright.
I know, and a lot of goblins without any Halloween.
Well, if you'll excuse us, Matilda, Robert and I will get busy and scare up a few goblins.
Yes, Charlotte. Are we going to have goblins here in the house?
Yes, and go and get the bait out of the car, son. There's corn stalks and pumpkins and costumes and a bushel of red apples. I'll help.
Yeah, I have a few minutes, Charlotte. Can I do anything?
Well, tell Sylvester to drag that wash tub in here and fill it up with water.
Oh, boy. I bet you were going to buff rats.
Well, Charlotte, I'll also dip some apples and put them on sticks. That is, if I can find anything that looks like a stick.
Don't look at me when you say that. I'm sorry, dear, but I was using the phone all afternoon.
And what have you done to the house? It looks like a barnyard.
Barbara, come here, will you, and hold this donkey while I pin it on the wall.
Thanks.
Thank you. Now, hold his fighting end steady, will you?
Oh, those ridiculous pumpkins grinning all over the room. What are you giving? A silly child's party?
Yes, Halloween is a wonderful night for grown-ups to be children and children to be silly. There. Now put that pumpkin with the biggest grin on it in the window.
What for? That pumpkin won't make anybody laugh.
Well, I haven't got time to sit in the window myself. Barbara, what is bothering you?
When I was helping Gertrude let out my blue dress, Janet phoned and said Mickey was at her house.
Yes, I spoke to Mickey and Janet on the phone.
Janet taking Mickey Taylor to the Halloween dance.
Are you quite sure she's taking him?
Here's the apple
glass, Robert. Oh, that's wonderful, Robert.
Here, oh. Robert, I'll help you put them in that tub of water. I can do without splashing. Say, what's that purple stuff over your eyes, Barbara?
Men shouldn't pry into women's secrets, Robert. That is eyeshadow.
Gosh, her eyes look like mine did the time Jimmy Hines stopped me. But her hair sticks good for apple bobbing.
Oh, that's an up. Swept hairdo, son, and very fashionable.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Charlotte. And Juan says all the older young men like this sophisticated style.
Is Mickey one of the older young men, Barbara?
Hi, everybody. What's going on here?
Well, here's just the banana king.
Is there a guy eat what he likes?
Well, I hope you like pumpkin pie, because we're going to have a lot of it.
What's all this mystery about anyway, Jack? Eating your head off morning, noon, and night.
Barbara, Jack will tell us when he wants to.
That's Charlotte. I like a woman who lets a man keep his independence.
I like a man to take away mine.
Now, Robert, let's challenge Barbara and Jack.
To what else, Charlotte?
Bobbing for apples. I bet you can get bigger ones than they can.
Well, but you can't.
But we can. I think it's silly.
Well, you didn't think it was silly last year when you caught more apples than anybody else, even the fellas.
Last year, I was a child.
Well, if that's what makes you a child, Barbara, here goes a babe in arms.
The big one, Aunt Charlotte, the big one. Hey, Charlotte.
Oh, well, not a very big one. I guess you'll have to save the day, Robert.
Here goes. He's got one.
Oh, good work, partner.
Wish it was bigger, Aunt Charlotte.
Let's show him up, Barbara. I'll go first.
Hey, he's got the littlest one in the cell, Aunt Charlotte. He won practically.
Wait a minute. Barbara, you see that whopper over there?
Uh-huh.
Well, you better get her to West Trunk. Oh, she can't get that.
Oh, can I?
Okay, then stand back and give her plenty of room. If she gets that big one, she's a wonder.
Okay, watch.
Had a girl, Barbara.
Hey, she's ducking her head into the water. Oh, boy, look. Barbara's hair's coming down.
Oh, so it is.
She's back, the big one.
Well, how did we do? We won.
Oh, well, no wonder with a mermaid on your side. Come, Janet.
Oh, I wanted to come. I didn't want to be alone.
As if you ever could be.
Hey, Barbara,
Oh, thank you, Miss Finley. Hiya, Barbara. Hey, what have you done to make yourself beautiful again?
Beautiful? Oh, I'm a wrecking, you know.
The kind of a wreck that makes every man want to be a sailor. Mickey means that your hair isn't tied up in a doorknob.
Well, every girl looks prettier with her hair falling over her shoulders, doesn't she, Miss Finley?
With me, the longer my hair is, the further it falls. And the more it covers, the better I look.
Well, I don't know how to say it, Barbara, but in the last couple of weeks, you sort of, well, you were different.
Mickey's trying to tell you, Barbara, that he likes you windblown, natural, fresh, 18. You were selling out Nature's million-dollar job for $3.50. Anybody want a bargain for $1.98?
Charlotte, nobody can hear us. Sylvester has everything ready. I'll get it. Janet, light the candles on the table, and Jack, will you push back those chairs, and Barbara and Mickey bring on the refreshments.
All right, Angela. Oh, and here's Randy. His mother says thanks for looking after him.
Oh, hello, Randy. You're just in time to grab a big prize out of that box.
Miss Greenwood, I saw them all around the house. Goblins, and whippies, and everything bad.
Oh, I understand, Randy. Now, do you think if I introduced you to a real nice goblin that you'd be afraid of him?
There aren't any nice goblins. They're all out to kill you. They like you, Daniel.
You come over here, dear. Now, close your eyes. Now, you let me put this costume on you.
I'm not afraid of you, Miss Greenwood.
Quiet.
Girls are scared of everything, aren't they? The fellas aren't afraid of anything.
Well, I've met a lot of them that were afraid of an altar. Now, Randy, hold out your arms, darling, while I put this over your shoulders. That's a boy. There. Now, what do you think you look like?
I don't know what I look like, but I feel like me. You don't look like you.
You really feel like you, Randy? Then I want you to look at yourself in this mirror.
See? I look like a goblin.
Yeah. What's inside that goblin costume?
Why, you look for you.
Uh-huh. And that's all that's inside of any goblin. A little boy like you, Randy, because you put him there. That's all goblins are, something we think of, something we imagine. We make them good and we make them bad, because they only exist in our imagination. Most of us imagine all the things we're afraid of. All the goblins in the world aren't strong enough to stand up under one ray of light.
Jane, wait for you.
Come on, everybody, pile in. Jack, there's a stock of bananas for you, boys.
Oh, I guess I'd better concentrate on the donuts. They're fattening.
Jack, will you go upstairs and weigh yourself?
Weigh myself? What for, Aunt John?
I have a hunch. Run along.
Okay.
Oh, gee, I'm glad I didn't go to the country club dance. This is a lot more fun.
Mm.
Oh, have some more cider, Mickey?
Oh, I can go for another donut, too.
How about you, Janet?
I'll go for more of everything.
Ooh!
Help yourself. I guess those chairs are right, Aunt John. I weigh exactly 135 pounds.
How much did you weigh before you went on this heavy diet?
Just exactly 135 pounds. And I've been stuffing myself for 3 weeks.
Jack, was that because you were afraid you couldn't make the football team?
Well, I figured out if I weighed a little bit more and I was pretty husky, the coach would give me a chance.
To be a shining star, a big hero?
Just everybody likes to be a hero.
And like Barbara, like Randy, like Robert, you've been afraid. You were afraid, Jack, to let anyone know what you were doing. Because if you failed, you were afraid to let anyone know you were trying. Everybody would have helped you, but you were afraid to ask.
Oh, I wasn't afraid of anything, that's all.
Yes, you were, dear. You were afraid of the most precious thing a girl can have, your youth. You tried to be somebody else, and as a result, you weren't really anybody. And you, Robert, you were afraid that there wouldn't be any fun for Halloween.
But it has been fun, Aunt Charlotte.
So has, Miss Greenwald.
Your fears were the only ghosts and goblins of Halloween.
Miss Greenwald, here's a witch's costume. Kind of scary.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, you couldn't be a witch.
No, then how come they offered me a job as test pilot in the broom factory?
Remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying word, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you've cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And I'm Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, I know a busy mother with a thousand daily cares who will say each time I meet her, "Oh, I've found some more gray hairs. It's the housework and the children that are turning my hair gray. All these problems and this pressure are just wearing me away." And I wonder, as I listen, while she frets about her curls, if she's ever looked at diamonds or admired the glow of pearls. For an oyster has a problem when some sand gets in its shell, but it covers it with beauty, and it makes a pearl as well. And a worthless lump of carbon hidden deep beneath the earth changes form because of pressure, and a diamond is given birth. Without problems, without pressure, they'd have both been sand or coal. Let's be thankful that our problems help to make a lovely soul.
Charlotte Greenwood. Our first.
Very interesting.
I wonder if there's a moral to this.
Not for me, no.
Wow. Hardball.
Well, you want a moral, you got to get it to him a little earlier in the week than just the first time.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, I was working in the basement.
Yeah. No, the morals are homework each week, so no.
This is the closest thing to a moral we have for this one. That's right, a yodeling pickle.
Yes, it was all about dream.
A yodeling pickle.
Was.
A yodeling pickle,
okay,
yes.
So I didn't catch the line. Was the reason the boy didn't ask his girlfriend to the party was because he was helping someone else, maybe a polio victim or something? What happened?
The polio victim. Jesus.
I don't know. I thought there was going to be a twist in this. Like, oh, I get it. I understand. I know why you didn't invite me to the party. You're helping out the people in an iron lung or something.
The polo guy. The polio guy, yeah. So.
Yeah, polio
a
girl.
A polio girl in an iron lung, yes.
In an iron lung. On Mars. Yes.
On Mars.
Yeah, there you go. The March of Dimes. And the Dimes of Marching.
Yep.
Yep. One of Eddie Cantor's contributions.
I had a weird experience today. I was out and about doing stuff, and I got so confused. I was in this one store, and I forgot what month it was because I was surrounded by Christmas. But before that happened, I was like, what month? Wait, what? What's going on here? So crazy. So anyway, I was walking from point A to point B from a store to another store. And I was trespassing in a parking lot. And I saw something. I looked down and I saw, and I was like, what? And I reached out and I was like, oh, well, I actually found, we used to feel lucky if you found a penny or a nickel or I found a quarter. And I was like, gosh, this is crazy. And I was like, when was the last time I handled cash? And, that's been a while, too.
I do it nightly, and then I make that sound. Anyway, we got a party to go to.
No.
I made that sound just getting out of bed.
Yep.
Like, well, I was in Joanne Fabrics today looking for some stuff, and they had Halloween, they had fall, they had some Thanksgiving, and they had Christmas. But,
what? No, Valentine's Day? Those slackers.
Yeah.
No, Valentine's Day?
Oh, well, I went to a party store, too, and I was in there, and I was like, wait a second, what's going on? The more rows I went down, the more of a progression. And it was like, wait, I'm in New Year's. What's happening?
I don't know, but we got two more Halloween parties to visit.
There you go.
Let's get increasingly more humorous as we go, as we switch on down from Charlotte Greenwood over to Archie Andrews. Yeah, Archie from the comics. This one's titled Halloween Party. they all are.
There's an original idea.
Yeah. From Oct the 30th, 1948.
Hey, Aki, what do you want?
Come on out right away, Doug. It's a matter of life or death.
Rewind, Aki.
Yes, here he is again, the unfamiliars of readers of Archie Comics magazine know and love so well. Brought to you by Swift & Company, makers of Swift Brookfield Sausage, Archie Andrews, and all his gang.
And now for our weekly visit to Riverdale. It's early evening as we look in on the Andrews home, and we find Mrs. Andrews sitting in the living room sewing.
When day is done and shadows fall, I see...
Mom! Here I am, dear.
Oh, hiya, Mom.
Hello, dear.
There's something I want to ask you, Mom.
Archie.
It's very important, very,
Archie.
Very important, so please say yes.
Archie.
Huh? Archie Andrews, how many times have I asked you not to slam the door when you come into the house and not to shout at the top of your lungs?
Well, gee, I'm sorry, Mom, but I got to ask you something.
All right. Now, just what is it that's so important?
Well, I just want to ask you, gee, was Mom, where's Dad?
Well, he isn't home yet, dear. He's going to say he was detained at the office, but he'll be home any minute.
Oh, well, what I was going to ask, Mom, is can we have a party here tonight?
Of course you can. What?
A party, a Halloween party.
Tonight?
Uh-huh. We were all set to have one at Veronica's house, but when Mr. Lodge heard about it tonight, he said nothing doing.
Oh.
And if I can have the party here, it would really make a good impression on Veronica.
But, Archie, I don't know what to say on such short
notice.
Well,
you don't have to prepare anything, Mom. The girls have all the candy and the cake and stuff at Veronica's now, and if you say yes, they'll bring everything right over here, and we'll clean up afterwards and be very careful, please, Mom.
Well, if you put it that way, Archie, I don't see how I could say no.
Oh, gee, thanks, Mom. I knew you'd say yes. Thanks a million, Mom. Thanks.
Oh, you're such a hero. Archie, all right. You're quite welcome, dear. But if you're having company tonight, I'd better go change my dress. I'm sure you want your mother looking presentable.
Oh, sure, Mom. And as soon as I call the kids and tell them everything's okay, I'll get dressed, too. Boy, oh, boy, we can have the Halloween party here. Hot
dog. Mary, hello. Barry. That's funny. I wonder where she is. Oh, well, must be around the house someplace. Oh, boy, it sure feels good to be home. What a day. What a day. Oh, I don't know when this armchair looked so comfortable or felt so comfortable. Oh, it's great to be home. Yes, sir. I'll just take my tie off and open my collar. Oh, yeah, that's it. Now I'll get these shoes off. Yeah. Oh, now to sit back and relax. Yes, sir. It certainly feels good to be. Shuthead.
What'd you expect, Elsa Maxwell?
No, Jughead, I did not expect Elsa Maxwell. And since when do you come barging in here without ringing the bell?
Oh, I can just call me too. We got a lot of things to do.
Got a lot of things. What kind of things?
Oh, no time to explain now, Andrew. Hey, I'm here.
He is here. Oh, what the dickens is all this about anyway?
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Betty.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I just dropped in to see how it happens. Well, what am I doing? Betty, dear, if you don't mind, I live here.
Oh. Well, I better take these packages out into the kitchen.
Yeah, but Betty, wait, what are those packages?
Can't explain now, Mr. Andrews.
Oh, great. First, Jughead comes marching in here without ringing the bell. Then Betty...
Mr. Andrews.
Yes, I'm Mr. Andrews, but who are you?
I'm Agatha Gush. And this is Prunella Jenkins, and Sis Henderson, and Boosie Mitchell.
I'm glad to know you, girls.
Oh, girls, isn't he cute?
Look, Agatha, I...
He'd be positively adorable if he only had hair.
What do you mean, if only I had hair? Yeah, but wait a minute. What the devil's going on around here? Oh, great. Now, how do you like that? I spend a hard day at the office. I come home exhausted, and all of a sudden, my house is turned into Grand Central Station.
Come on, you better get things arranged.
Gee whiz, Dad, what are you doing here? Why does everybody keep asking me that?
Well, golly, Dad, I only meant I didn't know you were home.
Archie, look, I am home, and I'm beginning to wish I wasn't. Now, without asking too much, would you mind telling me what's going on around here?
Well, sure, Dad, we're having a Halloween party.
Oh, all right. For a minute, I...
Yeah, Halloween party. Uh-huh, we're going to dance.
And play kissing games.
All right, Jughead. How many girls do you think you could kiss in one night? Oh, great. Oh, brother, that's all. Archie, look.
What are you doing here?
That's all. Look, Mary, it so happens I live here. I pay the bills around here. I own the house here. That's what I'm doing here.
Ted, don't be silly. I mean, what are you doing standing here in your stocking feet? Don't you know the children are having a Halloween party?
Mary, I have news for you. The children are not having a Halloween party.
Huh? Gee whiz. Ted, what do you mean?
Just what I said. I am tired. I have a slight headache. Nobody consulted me about this. And what's more, they could just go have their old party at somebody else's house.
Oh, but Fred, you can't do that,
Mary. I haven't the slightest intention of spending the rest of the night out in the kitchen so a bunch of young jitterbugs can wreck the living room. This is definite and final. No party.
Oh, but Fred. Mr. Martin's an old fellow, so it's not to let us have the party there. The Andrews are awfully nice to let us have the party here. Yes. Oh, hello, Mr. Andrews. Did we interrupt something?
Not a thing. I was just telling Archie I hoped his Halloween party would be a big success.
Huh?
Well, Mary, don't just stand there. Let's go out in the kitchen. Come on.
Well, Chuck, I guess everything's just about all set, and the rest of the kids should be here any minute.
Yeah.
And I want you to help me.
Yeah. Help you? Help you what?
Help me be host. Help me see that everyone has a nice time.
Who's going to see that I have a nice time?
Judge, you'll have a nice time being assistant host.
I want to talk to Agatha. She's supposed to be my date. After all, I even gave her a massage.
Yes, I mean, massage. Jughead, you mean a corsage.
A what?
A corsage.
Oh, she doesn't wear one of those. She's too thin.
Jughead, not a corset, a corsage. Flowers. You gave Agatha some flowers.
Yeah. And that mistletoe isn't cheap either.
Yes, mistletoe. Jughead, you gave Agatha a corsage of mistletoe?
Sure. I'm no fool.
Oh, fine. Listen, Jug. Agatha will just have to wait till everyone gets here and we...
Hello, Archie.
Oh, fine.
Hi, y'all, Archie Kenny. Oh,
It's awful nice to see you all, Archie. There you are.
Hello, Veronica. Gee, I see somebody gave you a massage, too.
What? He means a corsage. And, Jug, I sent that to Veronica, so be quiet.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Gee, Veronica, you sure look pretty tonight.
Oh, wow.
Hello, everyone.
I'm here.
Oh, fine. Reggie Mantle.
Hi, y'all, Reggie.
Well, if I believe what everyone tells me, I'm just wonderful.
Oh, great. Reggie, are you seriously in love with yourself, or is it just a passing fancy?
Now, Archie, remember, you're the host. Oh, Reggie, isn't that a new suit you're wearing?
Yes, Veronica. Do you like it?
Oh, yes, Reggie. It's lovely.
Oh, you just say that because I'm wearing it.
Oh, fine. Reggie, look, I'm glad to see you at our party. Come in and make yourself at home.
All right, Archie, don't mind if I do.
Fine. And now, Veronica,
I say, Veronica, you're looking lovelier than ever.
Huh?
Oh, do you really think so, Reggie?
Veronica,
of course I do, my dear. In fact, I'd say you're prettier than all the other girls who run after me.
Oh, Reggie, how sweet.
Veronica,
let's go sit down in the living room, Veronica, where we can have a nice long talk.
Oh, but
all right, Reggie, I'd love to.
Yeah, but, Veronica, wait, I want to talk to you. Now, how do you like that, Jug? I'm talking to Veronica, and that self-centered baboon comes in here and steals my girl right from under my nose.
Now, Archie, remember, a host is friendly, and a host is polite, and a host is cheerful.
Yes, Jug, and I'm beginning to think a host is also a darn fool.
So, Mary...
Yes, dear.
Mary, you know, I never realized before how uncomfortable these kitchen chairs are. How late do you think those kids are liable to stay?
Oh, I've no idea. But, Fred, if you're getting restless, let's go to a movie.
Oh, Mary, I'm too tired to go to a movie.
Then go upstairs and go to sleep.
But who can sleep with the noise those kids are making? Besides, maybe we should be out there.
Out there?
Uh-huh. You know, after all, as Archie's parents... Isn't it sort of our duty to make the kids feel at home and see that they have a good time?
Well, I suppose we should. But then again, youngsters don't like to have old folks around at their parties. It makes them feel awkward and self-conscious.
Mary, don't be silly. Nobody's going to be awkward because I'm there. As a matter of fact, those kids are probably having a terribly dull time right now. Well, I'll go out there and show them how to pep up the party. Come on.
Well, all right, dear, if you think we should.
Of course we should. And you'll see, Fred Andrews is always the life of the party. We'll show them how to enjoy a party.
Yes, dear. But they seem to be having a nice time right now.
Well, yes, in a way, but... Oh, there's Betty. Hello there, Betty.
Oh, hello, Mr. Andrews. Hello, Mr. Dan.
Well,
hello, Ben.
How is it going?
Do you want some more
But, Betty, I wanted to...
Fred, she's gone.
Yeah, she is, isn't she? Oh, there's Veronica. Hello, Veronica.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Veronica. How's things going? She seems to be pretty busy, too. Here's that Agatha girl. Oh, hello, Agatha.
Oh, Mr. Andrews.
Can
you hear me?
Yes, Betty. Hello,
Mr. Andrews.
Cute? Fred, what does she mean, cute?
Mary, I have no idea what she means by cute. But every time she sees me, she just goes into hysterics.
Oh, Agatha always giggles. But Fred, I thought we were going to join the party. We can't just stand here all evening.
Yeah, well, you're right. We can't just stand here, but neither can we join the party.
What?
Oh, Mary, I'm afraid there's only one place for old fogies like us. Back to the kitchen. Come on.
Gee, I'm glad you like it. But listen, Veronica, I haven't seen you all evening. I want to talk to you.
Well, Archie, of course you can talk to me. What did you want to say?
Well, it's awful noisy in here, Veronica. Let's go out on the porch.
All right, Archie. I could use a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, me too. Oh, just look at that harvest moon.
Yes. Oh, it's lovely, Archie.
simply lovely.
Yeah. Sit down, Veronica, and we can watch the moon for a while.
All right. But it's a little chilly out here, isn't it?
Oh, don't worry about that, Veronica. I'll put my arm around you. There. That'll keep you warm.
Oh, Archie. How sweet.
Oh, it's nothing. Nothing at all. But, Veronica.
Yes, Archie?
Now that we're alone, there's something I want to ask you.
Yes, Archie?
I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and we're going to find out a little bit later.
Oh, no. Whatever
what
will
he
wants, ask her?
I don't know, but it's going to be good. I guarantee.
Where is that thing?
Oh, those those troubled teenagers.
Yep.
In the world of Archie Andrews.
How does that work?
Jughead's a little perf, man.
And kissing?
I'm kissing and more of it. Hey, creep. You're creeping us out, Jughead.
Yeah, that does happen sometimes.
Yep. That's right, Archie Andrews, Halloween
you know,
party.
It must be, in front of a bunch of kids. So it must have been like an afternoon or a Saturday morning show or something. Is what I'm assuming. Because of the reactions that the kids are having and such. And when you hear them cheering and stuff, they sound like nothing but young children.
Yep.
The readers of those Archie Andrews comic books, I would imagine.
Yeah. I had mixed feelings about Archie. They were pretty cool. I mean, hey, it was a comic book, but I do like my superheroes.
Yeah.
Spidey, Fantastic Four, Hulk, et cetera, and et cetera.
Has anyone caught that She-Hulk attorney?
Heard it's pretty bad. No, I haven't seen it.
I tried watching it. I just couldn't get through the whole episode.
I guess you're not alone from what I've heard.
I'm a comic book guy. I enjoyed the heck out of it, but I don't know. Maybe I'm more into it. I don't
tolerant?
Know. Tolerant? I enjoyed it.
Tolerant?
Yeah. I remember when the first comic book came out of that, and I followed it into the many iterations, and then later it turned into what they're showing now. And there's comedy in it, but yeah, maybe it's a chick flick type thing. I don't know. Might be that too.
Could be. Could be.
Could be.
I was having audio problems with the call. I swapped over to a different device.
Ah.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Thank you very little.
Well, I'm all anxious to hear what Archie is going to ask her.
Yeah.
He's been waiting all night to ask her this.
Yeah, he's working up his nerve. This could be big. He could be adult. No, I don't think so. Not Archie. Although
not
Jughead
Archie,
has me a little concerned. Jughead has me a little concerned.
Yeah, Jughead needs to stay away from the internet.
Yes. And Viagra. Here we go with the end of Archie Andrews' Halloween party.
Well, would you mind if... Well, that is, may I... What I mean to say is, could I... Would you...
What are you asking? Not you, for Agatha.
Oh, fine. Jug and Agatha.
My goodness.
You'll find out.
you quick, Veronica. Come on over here so they won't see us. Oh, if that Agatha sees us, she'll stop talking and they'll never go back inside.
All right, Archie, but I hope they don't stay out here too long. I'm getting chilled.
Oh, they won't quite. Here they come.
Gee whiz, it's cold out here, Agatha.
Oh, it is not, Jughead. It's refreshing. Now, let's sit down for a while.
Okay. I sure wish I knew why you wanted to sit out here with all that cake and candy back in the house.
Jughead, don't you really know?
No.
Well, I'll tell you. Put your arms around me. Go ahead.
Like this?
Uh-huh. Hold me tighter.
Okay.
Tighter.
Okay.
Tighter.
Okay.
Not so tight!
Oh, gee, Pat. I'm sorry. Guess I don't know my own strength.
Oh, I guess not. Now, turn your face to mine.
Okay.
Now, look me in the eye.
Which one?
Either one. Now, hold me close.
Okay.
Now, what do you say?
I know.
What?
Want some bubble gum?
Oh, for goodness sake. Jughead, you're as romantic as a dish of popcorn. And personally, I'll take the popcorn.
That isn't what I say.
Well, they're gone.
Yes, I thought they'd never go in.
Me too. Now, Veronica, where were we?
Well, you were about to ask me something.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Veronica, as I was about to say, would you mind if...
Betty, are you out there?
No, fine. Yes, Betty, I'm out here.
Oh, hello, Veronica.
Hi.
Archie, the kids want to roll back the rugs and move the furniture so we can dance.
Well, you'll have to wait a while, Betty. I'm trying to talk to Veronica.
But Archie, it's not polite to keep your guests waiting.
But, Betty,
And the party will get dull if we don't start dancing. And you should keep it going. You're the host.
Okay, okay. So I'm the host. But, Betty, the next time I throw a party, remind me not to.
Mary, I think those youngsters were absolutely rude to ignore us the way they did.
Oh, Fred, they were just having a party. You didn't expect them to stop everything just to talk to us, did you?
Well, when I was a boy, we showed respect for our parents, party or no party.
Well, times have changed, dear. So just read your newspaper until the youngsters get tired and go home.
All right, dear, all right. At least it's quiet out here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see where you're at. Oh, fine.
Water out here, Reggie.
Well, I'm really thirsty.
Oh, hello, Reggie.
Oh, hiya, Miss Anders. Jug, get some ice cubes. I like my water cold.
Okay.
Wow. Look what we have here in the icebox. Cold chicken.
Oh, boy, that looks good.
Hey, did you hear that?
Yes, dear, I heard.
Oh, look, tastes good.
Hey, my chicken, that's for lunch tomorrow.
Oh, Mary, don't say
anything.
Look here. Here. Just
fresh apple pie.
Oh, boy, that looks good.
Oh, Pop, Fred, that's for dinner tomorrow night.
Hey, fellas. Look what we got.
They're ready.
Well, Mary, there are
you. I want to take every last bit of food. Fred, what do we do?
Mary, there's only one thing for us to do. Go down to the playroom in the basement. Come on. And now back to Archie's Halloween party. When Veronica couldn't have the party at her house, Archie talked Mrs. Andrews into letting him use the Andrews house. Namely, to make a good impression on Veronica. But so far, he's been so busy being host, he hasn't had a chance to see much of Veronica. And meanwhile, Mr. and Mrs. Andrews are trying to find a quiet place to stay until the party's over.
Okay, Betty, okay. Now the piano's out of the way, the couch is pushed back, the rug's rolled up, and everything's all set for dancing.
Oh, thank you, Archie. That's fine.
Good.
Come on, everybody. I'm going to play the piano, and everybody dance.
Now that that's settled, maybe I can get a dance with Veronica for all my troubles.
Oh, this dance is mine.
Yes, Agatha, yours. Oh, but Agatha, I
just love dancing with you, Archie.
Yes, Agatha, but I want to see if I...
I'll dance with you. Come on, let's dance.
Oh, all right, Agatha, let's dance.
Oh,
golly,
Archie, isn't this the most wonderful party?
Oh, sure, Agatha, sure. But you know something?
What?
If I didn't live here, I'd go home.
Archie,
Fred, the way those children just raided that icebox without asking anyone's permission was absolutely rude.
Oh, now, Mary, you just forget it. That's how youngsters are, you know. And there's nothing we can do about it anyway. Now, just be thankful it's quiet down here in the basement. We can sit here peacefully until those kids go home.
Oh, yes, dear, you're right. But they can't leave any too soon for me.
Yes, dear. Now, let's see. What was I reading in this newspaper? Oh, yes, yes. Mary, what's that?
I don't know.
Sounds like an earthquake or the house is falling down.
Fred, I know what it is.
What?
We're directly under the living room. The children must be dancing.
Oh, all right. For a minute, I was dancing. What kind of dancing is that to make that much noise?
Fred, you know how the youngsters jitterbug, jump up and down, and throw each other around.
Yes, but do they have to do that to my house? The whole house is shaking.
Fred, the youngsters are entitled to dance if they want to.
But
you can't stop them from doing that.
But they
just
can't.
Make the best of it and read your paper.
Oh, all right, dear, all right. First we went out into the kitchen, then we came down to the cellar. You think there'd be one place we could go in our own house where we could just watch? Ye gods, Mary, what was that?
Oh, dear, a big piece of the ceiling came down.
Ceiling? Mary, come on.
Fred, where can we go now?
There's just one place, Mary, one place. To the living room to put an end to this nonsense. Come on.
Yes, Agatha, it was fine. Now, if you don't mind, I want to ask Veronica for the next dance.
Veronica? But don't you want to dance with me anymore?
Well, yes, Agatha, but I feel that as the host, I should ask Veronica. And, oh, here she is now. Veronica?
Yes, Archie?
Can I have the next dance?
Oh, Archie, I just promised it to Reggie.
Reggie? Listen, Veronica, how come all night long you're talking to Reggie, dancing with Reggie, laughing with Reggie?
Well, Archie, you knew Reggie was my date for tonight, didn't you?
Well, sure. Reggie is your date for tonight. You mean I threw this party and you brought...
Anything wrong with my being her date?
I'll say there is. I can't...
Hey, somebody else play the piano now. I want to dance.
Betty, please, just a minute. Veronica, did you... Jughead, please.
Archie, can I see you for a minute, please?
Well, just 1 minute, Dad. I want to get something straight here. Veronica, you mean you brought Reggie Mantle as your date to my party?
Archie,
you never asked me to be your date.
Veronica,
I'm
going to
dance this next
Betty,
day.
Let's not...
I'll play the piano.
Agatha, please.
Don't
Jughead,
please. Fred, don't make a scene.
Well, Mary, I'm not making a scene. I'm trying to talk to Agatha, please stop playing the piano. Now, listen to me, all of you. This nonsense has gone far enough. Too far, in fact.
Yes, Mr. Andrew.
Yes, dear.
Yes, Dad.
Now, I certainly am the last one to object to youngsters having a Halloween party. But this is going too far. Much too far. You kids come in here like you own the place. You raid the icebox without asking. Shove all the furniture around. Scratch up a perfectly good floor. Break the ceiling in the basement with your jumping and stamping. And who knows what else you've done.
I know.
Chug, be quiet. Now, I hate to be so harsh, but I'm afraid you young jitterbugs have to be taught some manners. And if you have anything to say for yourselves, I want to hear it.
Well, yes, Dad, we do have something to say. But would you excuse me for just a minute? There's something I want to ask the other kids.
You certainly may.
Hey, fellas, come here.
Yeah. Now, look,
my dad says some of the ceiling down.
Yeah,
I'm okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay, fellas, thanks. Dad.
Well, Archie, go on.
Well, first, all the fellas want me to apologize for their getting a little wild.
I should think they would. The apology is accepted.
And we hope that this money will make up for the damage we did.
Well, I should hope it. Money? What money?
This money here, Dad. We all just chipped in to pay for the scratched floor and the broken ceiling. Well, I know it isn't very much money, but it's all we had. $3, I think, and a little change.
Archie.
Yes, Dad?
You mean to say that your friends chipped in that money to pay for the damage you did?
Well, yes, Dad.
Well, Archie, there's only one thing I can say.
Yes, Dad?
If that's the kind of friends you have, I'd be a pretty mean old sourpuss to take that money or to stop the party. Happy Halloween, kids. Come on, Mary, let's dance. Happy Halloween.
Now back to the Andrews. It's many hours later and the big Halloween party's all over and everybody, including Mr. and Mrs. Andrews, had a fine time.
Oh, gee, Dad, that was a swell party, wasn't it?
Yes, son, it certainly was.
Yes, you seem to be enjoying yourself, I noticed.
Yeah, meaning what?
Meaning, where did you learn to jitterbug like that?
Oh, Agatha taught me. And you know something? Agatha's cute.
Hey, Rose.
Oh, Fred Andrews, you should be a...
Listen next Saturday when we bring you more of the merry adventures of Archie Andrews. This is Bob Sherry wishing you all a very pleasant weekend. So long.
Ta-ta. Hello.
How interesting.
A little fun.
Went into the weird a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little weird.
Weird can be good.
Yeah, I guess. A lot of teen angst and all kinds of teenage craziness with that.
Yep, more floor scratches coming. I'm are on the way, I think, though, you know.
What? Oh, Gildersleeve? Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
At the party. I don't know what Gildy's got going on. We've yet to get to good old Gildy.
Yeah. That's our last party of the night of three. And
Gildersleeve was started off in 38, as Garth had mentioned, 1938. Well, he was a semi-regular on the Fibber and Game Molly program. He was Fibber's next-door neighbor, and he was owner of the Gildersleeve Girdle Factory. And
oh my.
They spun him off. They spun him off on his own sitcom and went from maybe one of the first times a sitcom spun off another sitcom. And they spun off the Great Gildersleeve, and he moved to Summerfield to take over his brother and sister died in a car accident, and he took over the children, overseeing the children. And so he had to sell the Gildersleeve Girdle Company and became water commissioner to have a little bit more prestigious to be in the town there of Summerfield. Anyway,
yes,
that's the small of it, but we got the party to go to, so we don't want to ruin everything.
No, and this one's actually Halloween night. Way back in 1943.
Kraft presents the Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company will also bring you the Kraft Music Hall every Thursday night. Present each week at this time Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. We'll hear from the Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. Nowadays, society gives you a green light when you tip your plate of soup, or mop up gravy with a dab of bread, or leave your plate clean as a whistle. We wartime Americans have gladly discarded many wasteful rules of etiquette to make food fight for freedom. The all-important rule these days is waste no food, eat every scrap. Of course, one way to be sure that all the food you serve gets eaten is to present it in tempting, appetizing ways. And I do know this. You'll enjoy bread rolls and muffins down to the very last crumb when they're spread with delicious parquet margarine. Ah, yes, ma'am, parquet's delicate flavor really satisfies, adds to your enjoyment of many fine foods. And since parquet margarine is so very high in energy value, it's really a wonderful aid to good family nutrition. Remember, too, that each pound of parquet contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A. So get the nutritious spread that's known far and wide for its truly fine flavor. By parquet, that's P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine, made by Kraft. Now let's see what goes on at the home of the great Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. It's Saturday evening, the day before Halloween, and his niece is giving a dance. All afternoon, he's been rolling up carpets, putting extra leaves in the dining room table, carrying out furniture, and carrying it in again. But now that the heavy work is done, he finds himself brushed aside. After an early makeshift supper, he wanders forlornly out to the kitchen to watch last-minute preparations there.
Oh, what are you making there, Bertie? Frosting?
Yes, sir.
Say, that looks mighty good. Do you mind if I just...
Come on.
Mr. Gildersleeve, a man can lose a finger that way.
It's wonderful, though, Bertie. Say, don't you think you've beaten that about enough?
Ain't sure if it's stiff enough.
Oh, well, I'll just see.
Now, the Lord, really?
Just tasting it, my dear.
Mr. Gildersleeve, if you keep tasting, there ain't going to be frost enough to put in your eye.
Who wants it in his eye? You'd like to put a little on a piece of bread now.
Oh, Lord, go out and play.
Let's go out and play.
Bertie, don't you think it's about time we took another peek at that cake?
Cake? I'll do it.
Stay away from that oven. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve, but you want that cake to fall?
I was just trying to help.
Run along, Uncle Mort. I'll look at the cake, Bertie.
You either.
What?
If some of the people don't get out of this kitchen, I'm going to go clean out of my mind.
Well, Bertie, I was just
trying
to...
Well, you more trouble than all the rest of them.
Yeah.
Want me to pick the party? You got to give me a chance. I ain't no Superman. No, sir. All I got is two hands. Pain to come in here back and dirty.
Come on, Marjorie. I think Bertie wants to be alone. Let's go in the other room. After you.
Oh, Leroy, for heaven's sake.
I am Frankenstein the Wolfman. I eat up little girls.
Let go!
I walked with a zombie. The undying monster.
Leroy.
The living dead.
Stop that and take off that mask.
It's only me, Unc. Did I scare you?
Yes. I don't know how you expect to scare anybody. You've been going around that rig scaring people for a week.
Well, I'm just practicing being horrible.
You don't need any practice.
Uncle Mort. You make him promise to keep away from my party. I just know he's going to... Oh, that's probably for me.
Don't worry, Glamour Puss. I wouldn't be caught dead at your party.
Hello? Is that you?
No, it's me.
Oh, I couldn't tonight, Lester. No, I'm sorry. No, I couldn't possibly.
Why don't you tell him you're giving a party and he's not invited?
Shut up, Leroy.
Let her alone, Leroy.
Pardon the interruption. The brat again. Go on, tell me all about it.
I don't know what kind of a Halloween party this is anyway. No games, no pumpkins.
What did you used to do on Halloween, Unc?
Oh, we did a lot of things, my boy. Made jack-o'-lanterns, bobbed for apples.
Pretty corny. Yeah. What else?
Well, we had one little trick.
Yeah? What was it?
Well, we used to take two buckets of water.
Yeah?
And when it got dark, we'd put them on each side of somebody's front walk, and we'd tie them together with a piece of cord across the walk, and then when somebody came along... Well, you can imagine.
Hey, that's great.
It was a very thoughtless, wicked thing to do, Leroy. I hope you will never do anything like that.
Are you kidding?
I mean it. Somebody might trip and hurt themselves badly. Remember that.
Yes, sir.
There's one other thing to remember.
What's that?
Only fill the buckets halfway. It won't work if they're full.
Oh, my goodness. Go to the door, somebody. I'm on the phone.
Well, get off it.
I'll go.
Oh, I've got to hang up now. Goodbye, Lester.
Yeah, so much for Lester.
It's Wally Hoff.
Wally Hoff.
Well, the kid himself. Hiya, Junior. What are you supposed to be?
Frankenstein.
Oh, blow me down.
Talk to Wally, will you, Uncle Mort? I'll be right down, Wally. I've got to run up and put on some lipstick.
What for? It's coming right up. take these records, will you, son? And don't drop them. Got a couple of real oldies there. Red nickels.
Gosh.
Mr. Hoff? My name is Gildersleeve. I'm Marjorie's uncle.
Oh, hi. Heard a lot about you.
I've heard a lot about you, too.
Favorable, I trust. Anybody tuning this so-called piano lately?
Young man, that's a Wembley.
Oh, not bad.
Hey, Wally, I can play a boogie bass now like you showed me. Look.
Hey, that's not it. Look out.
I didn't do it right. Let me just...
Look out. Let me at it. Like music, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I like music, yes. Mr. Hoff, would you mind telling me something?
Not at all, shoot.
That sweatshirt you're wearing, is that customary these days? At dances, I mean?
What else?
In my day, we wore tuxedos. And we didn't wrestle, we danced.
Oh, your day, your day. Your day is over, Uncle Mort.
Yes, yes, I guess it is.
Well, don't stop, Wally, give out.
What'll it be, gorgeous?
Oh, anything at all, only give. The party's dying and it hasn't even started. I don't want to be rushing you, but the gang will be here any minute.
I can take a hint.
Well, take Leroy with you. Why don't you see if Mrs. Ransom's doing anything tonight?
Maybe I will, and maybe I won't.
Oh, that's it. Play that.
On with the dance. Let joy be undefined.
Oh, brother. Even in my... Come on, Frankenstein. This is no place for us.
dark out, isn't it?
Wally Hoff.
He's a swell piano player, Unc.
You stick to Bach.
That sounds like Piggy. Hey, Pig, wait up! That's his signal. See you later, Unc.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
I won't ask you to keep out of mischief, Leroy. Just keep out of jail.
Okay. Where are you going, Mrs. Ransom?
Never mind. Run along.
Hey, Pig! Wait for Frankenstein!
Nobody's going to tell me what I'm going to do. If I want to call on Leela, I will. And if I don't, I won't. Just hope she's in, that's all.
Who's there?
Boo!
Oh,
yeah.
Throckmorton, you mustn't do that.
Yeah, but it's Halloween, Leela.
No, it's not. Tomorrow's Halloween.
I know, but they're celebrating it tonight. What are you doing, Leela?
Well, I had this date for tonight, but at the last minute I was unable to go on account of a headache.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes.
Well, perhaps some other time.
Oh, I feel much better now.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Isn't that lucky?
Will you go to the movies with me?
Well, I don't know about tonight, Throckmorton. I'm just scared to death of ghosts and witches and all.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be with you.
Promise you'll stay close to me and protect me?
I'd like to see the ghost if you get between us.
There'll be a slight wait inside for all seats.
Oh, he says there'll be waiting, Throckmorton.
How many, please?
How long will we have to wait, miss?
The next complete showing will begin at 9:53. How many, please?
9:53? That's half an hour, Leela. Do you want to wait?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, make up your mind.
Oh.
Stepping to one side, please. Keeping the line moving, please.
Shutting the mouth, please.
Throckmorton.
Well, they can't push me around. Evidently, our patronage is not wanted here, Leela. Let's go somewhere else.
I declare, Throckmorton, I've never seen Summerfield so crowded.
Why don't these people stay home nights? Well, I suppose we could at least drop in here and get a soda. Would you like a soda?
I don't know. Would you?
Well, I don't know. Would you?
Look, a little boy in a mask.
Well, that's more like it. That's the first real sign of Halloween.
Oh, what's that thing he's swinging around?
Oh, that's a sock filled with flour. Oh, we used to have more fun with those.
Oh, he isn't going to hit somebody with it.
What do you think it's for?
Hello, little boy.
Hello there, Sonny. What's your name? Cat got your tongue, huh? You're not Piggy Banks, are you?
You're not going to hit anybody with that, are you, little boy?
Yes, careful now. Careful how you swing that. I'll tell you what, if you go away, I'll give you a nickel. Listen, if you hit anybody... Look out now. If you're Piggy Banks, I'll tell your mother. Did you hear what I said? If you come near me with that, I'll... Come back here, you. I dare you.
Let me brush you off, Throckmorton.
I think you might show a little more consideration, Leela.
Oh, but you look so funny, darling. Come on, let's go in and get a soda.
Well.
Hello, Mrs. Ransom.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Peavy.
And Mr. Gildersleeve. Well, has it been snowing out?
No, it hasn't been snowing. The lady here would like a soda.
Well, aren't you going to have anything, Throckmorton?
I got something.
Oh, well, if you're not going to have anything, I'm not going to have anything.
All right. Soda for me, too. Chocolate.
Chocolate, it shall be.
Have you been, Mr. Peavy?
Oh, just fine, Mr. Ransom, just fine. You two been out doing the town?
Well, if you could call it that. Halloween isn't what it used to be, Peavy.
No, Mr. Gildersleeve, it isn't. And maybe it's just as well.
Why?
Well, I remember one Halloween. Harry, it's a lucky thing we didn't all land in jail.
Well, what did you do, Mr. Peavy?
Well, you know how boys are, Mrs. Ransom. I remember it was a dark night like this one. It was out at old Mr. Thatcher's house, crabby old fellow. Maybe you remember the house, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Well, we'd planned this thing for weeks, and it was dark, as I say, so we appointed one boy as a lookout, and we hid in the bushes till the coast was clear.
Oh, yeah? Go on.
Then when we got the signal, we sneaked across the lawn.
Yeah?
We tiptoed up the front steps.
Uh-huh.
And crawled on our hands and knees across the porch.
Yeah?
And stuck a pin in his doorbell.
Peavy, you didn't.
Yes, sir, and I want to tell you, I got out of there just as fast as my legs would carry me.
Peavy, I wouldn't have believed it if you hadn't told me yourself.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Mr. Gildersleeve. I didn't actually stick the pin in the bell myself.
Oh?
I stayed behind in the bushes. But if they ever found out that pin came out of my lapel...
It sure came out of my
Throckmorton, you know what I think?
Know what?
I think we ought to have a Halloween party, an old-fashioned one where you bob for apples and stick pins and things.
Well, but it's too late, Lisa.
Oh, no, it's not. Tomorrow's Halloween, really. We could have it at your house.
But, Leela...
Oh, don't be an old killjoy. Now, who we have? Oh, you come, won't you, Mr. Peavy?
Well, I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to, Mrs. Ransom. You see, Mrs. Peavy gets a little nervous around Halloween, so I usually stick pretty close to home till it blows over.
Oh, too bad. Well, there's Judge Hooker. We'll have to have the judge.
Yeah, for laughs.
Now, who else?
Well, we ought to have another girl.
Oh, do you think we need to?
For the judge. You know, the old goat likes to think he's Sir Walter Raleigh.
Oh, well, who can we get? I don't seem to know many women somehow.
Oh, well, there's a Miss Goodwin, I think her name is.
Goodwin? I don't seem to recall.
I only know her slightly.
Oh, well, how does it happen I've never heard you mention her before?
Well, I say I know her. I've met her, that's all. She's the principal of the school.
Oh, a school teacher.
Yeah, school teacher.
Well, that sounds perfect for the judge.
Yeah. you know her, don't you, Peavy?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's perfect for the judge.
Yeah. Perfect for the judge.
She can't be that perfect.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I'd say that she was...
Thanks for the sodas, Peavy. Gotta be running along.
Oh, but Throckmorton, I've hardly finished.
Gotta get going before the crowd gets out of the movie.
Oh, gracious, how you rush again.
Oh, forgot to pay. Peavy, did anybody ever tell you you talk too much?
Why, no,
Well, consider yourself told. Good night, Peavy.
Greg Gildersleeve will be with us again in just a few seconds.
Peavy, you idiot.
Yes.
Yeah, those guys just don't know when to stop talking. They're just always talking. Never know when to stop. They just always talking. Never know when to... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Are you saying he talks a lot?
Oh, I wouldn't think that. As Peavy would say.
He did that rather nicely.
Mm-hmm. Great characters in the old Gildersleeve, I tell you.
Oh, yeah. So much fun. And it's a show I didn't appreciate till I was a little older. My brother caught on to it earlier. I liked him in Fib McGee. I love Fib McGee. It took me a little while to warm up to Gildersleeve. Actually, when they started playing it on our local NPR station up here in Kent, that's when I really started to listen and really enjoy the great Gildersleeve.
Now, my first exposure to Gildersleeve was in like 1979, 1980, 81, 82, 83, on an NPR station as well.
Yeah, I think they syndicated them out, and NPR picked up a lot of them, Gar.
Yeah, and so I was about 14, 15, 16 years old, and on Sunday morning, they had that, and I just really enjoyed listening to it.
Well, I'm the Johnny Come Lately here with Old Time Radio, and I'm loving every minute of it. Learn a bunch from the both of you, and
yeah,
there's a lot to learn. It's a long history when you think about it.
The precursor
that's
to
the great
they
thing
really
about
help.
It.
They help develop everything that television became, from the variety shows to the sitcoms. There were no sitcoms before radio. Radio developed the sitcom, and they slid right into the television.
Yeah.
I guess you could say they had the movie of the week also when you had the Lux Radio Theater and programs like that. So
sure.
You know.
Technically, they did. Yeah.
Technically, they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Academy Awards.
Vaudeville Radio TV. That was kind of the progression, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah. Yeah, except Vaudeville didn't have the sitcom. So really, it was the, you know, and the you know, the horror stories. That did, that basically came from, maybe from some of the movies to a bit.
Oh.
But yeah.
radio
the
took
Pulps.
Movie.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. So many Pulps moved into radio. You're right, Gar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well, the Shadow.
The, the serials, yep. All kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite a history for all this. Oh, ho, ho.
Having quite the holiday Halloween week here on Erie House. Mm-hmm. We did music yesterday. We got the parties today. Tomorrow, we got a little bit of Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm. Woo-hoo.
We'll have Bela Lugosi and Vincent Price tomorrow.
Yes. And for me, Edgar Allan Poe was very Halloween-centric as far as not on the dressing up and going trick-or-treating, but maybe a little quiet time later in the evening. If you were, you could hear a radio show of Edgar Allan Poe or a record album of Alfred Hitchcock or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now I'd like to dress up as Edgar Allan Poe for Halloween. Be fun.
I have not seen an Edgar Allan Poe outfit or mask or anything.
Oh, make one.
Nevermore.
There you go.
You never
exactly.
You see none. You see one nevermore.
That's right. Nevermore. Hey.
I was at a party store today, and someone was looking for the Michael Myers thing. That's a weird little twist on that. I'm not into the Myers slasher psychopath movies per se, but if you understand that the mask was originally a William Shatner mask repurposed, William Shatner not only is Captain Kirk but also a nod to the that movie.
Yeah,
that's
he's also Michael Myers. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, wow, double duty, and he didn't even try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knew? Who
Interesting.
Knew?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, Halloween movies, I'm okay with, like, the first couple and then yawn.
Yeah. Now, the Freddy Krueger, I stayed away. Those were too scary. I stayed away. T.J. Hooker had an Elvira episode. Route 66 had a monster episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it did. It did.
Yeah, it had Peter Lorre and Boris Karloff. Who was this? Oh, Lon Chaney. The three of them.
Lon Chaney Jr., yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he
yeah,
was.
They really wrangled everybody in there.
Well, we probably better wrap up this episode, eh, Dale?
Yeah, we're running out of time here. Let's crank out the rest of Gildersleeve the Great.
These days, everyone's interested in good, satisfying food, and everyone knows that flavor is mighty important. Yes, it's flavor that makes us enjoy the foods we eat. It's flavor that tempts hungry appetites. That's why Kraft, the maker of Parquet margarine, is so particular about fine flavor in this delicious spread for bread. Parquet's flavor is something you'll want to tell your friends about. It's so delicate and appetizing, the margarine that tastes so good. And right along with its tempting flavor, Parquet margarine is wonderfully nutritious, too. It's one of the best energy foods you can serve your family. And while we're on the subject of good nutrition, remember that every single pound of Parquet contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A. Parquet is a quality margarine that bears the seal of acceptance of the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association. So for flavor to satisfy your family and for the kind of nourishment they need, serve Parquet every day. Ask your dealer for Parquet. That's P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine made by Kraft. Halloween is here at last, and the great Gildersleeve is ready for it come what may. Leroy has carved a pumpkin, and Bertie has prepared some refreshments.
Don't they teach you any poetry in school these days, Leroy?
Oh, sure. I woke up in the morning and looked upon the wall. There was a flea and a bedbug having a game of ball.
Leroy, you didn't learn that poem in school.
Oh, I did, too. Piggy taught it to me during geography.
Yes. By George, I'm going to ask your teacher to change your seat. I can see Piggy's a bad influence on you.
I doubt if Leroy's doing Piggy any good either.
Oh, is that so? Who asked you to put in your 2 cents?
Well, you're certainly just as bad as Piggy.
I suppose his sister's been shooting off her big mouth.
Leroy?
He has not.
Well, I could tell a few things about you and her and Wally Hoff. For instance...
Quiet! I'm expecting guests here any minute. You think I want them to walk into this kind of a cat and dog fight?
Well, he started it.
Stop it, or I'll finish it. I'll not have this kind of goings on. Leroy, where are you going?
Out on the porch.
What for?
Jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, well, that's all right, then. It's a very good idea. Make a cheery welcome for my guests. What are your plans, Marjorie? Would you like to stay here and enjoy a little old-fashioned Halloween fun for a change?
Oh, gee, do I have to?
Certainly not, my dear. What were you thinking of doing this evening?
Wally and I were going down to Brownie's Beanery for a while. Some of the gang's going to be there.
Well, I certainly dislike that boy.
Oh, he grows on you, Uncle Moore.
Why, George, you won't get a chance to grow on me. Hi-ho. Well, I'll have a real Halloween anyway. I'll see how Leroy's coming with the jack-o'-lantern. Real Halloween air. Gosh, dark as a pants pocket out here. Where is that kid? Leroy!
Hi, Unc.
I didn't see you, Leroy. Confound it. How many times have I told you it's not funny to scare people?
I wasn't trying to scare you. You called me and I answered.
Well, all right, but be careful. Why haven't you lit the jack-o'-lantern?
The wind keeps blowing out the matches.
Nonsense. There's no wind at all tonight.
It comes in puffs.
Yeah. Well, give me those matches and I'll show you how a woodsman lights a fire.
Where's the woodsman?
Just watch me.
Okay. Say, isn't this Judge Hooker coming?
Where? I don't see anybody. Oh, well, it may be at that. Hello, Judge.
Hi, Gildy.
Yeah, trust him to get here first.
Hi, Judge.
Hello, Leroy. Well, Doc Morton, happy Halloween. Am I the first one? Oh, no.
Leroy here.
Yeah. Confounded Gildersleeve, what's the idea?
It wasn't my idea, Judge, but anyway, happy Halloween. Stand here by the fire, Judge, and you'll be dry in no time.
Doggone that, Chet.
Now, Judge, boys will be boys.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you put him up to it.
Why, Horace.
And you laughed.
Well, I couldn't help it. I'm always laughing. Now, cheer up, Judge.
Well, maybe that's my girl.
Your girl?
Miss Goodwin.
What makes you think she's your girl?
All right, I'm easy to please. I'll take Leela.
Oh, no, you won't. Leela's my girl, you old goat.
I'd rather be a goat than a hog.
Come in. We were just talking about you.
I knew it. I could feel my ears burning.
Yeah, they're still pink at that. let me take your coat.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my, the house looks lovely. I think Halloween decorations are so exciting, don't you?
I certainly do.
Oh, good evening, Horace.
Good evening, Leela.
What a wonderful idea. Coming in your old clothes. I just love old clothes parties.
This is my new suit, Leela. Or it was when I left home.
Oh. Well, what happened?
Gildersleeve's little nephew played a Halloween prank that soaked me to the skin.
Oh, how awful. That doesn't sound like Leroy Throckmorton.
It's my idea of Leroy.
Oh, mercy. The judge might have caught pneumonia.
Oh, don't worry about me, Leela. I'm a pretty tough old rooster.
Oh, well, let's forget all about it and have a nice Halloween. Where's your lady friend, Horace?
Miss Goodwin? Oh, she's not my lady friend. Not according
now, to... Now, Horace, can't you take a joke?
Seems to me I'm being asked to take a good many this evening.
That must be Miss Goodwin now, Judge. Why don't you go and let her in?
Well, thank you.
What did Horace mean about her not being his lady friend, Throckmorton?
Oh, nothing. Just his peculiar sense of humor.
Good evening, Miss Goodwin.
Good evening, Judge Hooker. So nice to see you again.
Permit me to take your rest.
Throckmorton?
Yes, Leela?
I thought you said she was a school teacher.
She is, Leela.
Well, she dresses like the school teachers in Esquire.
Now, Leela.
Here we are. Mrs. Ransom, may I present Miss Goodwin?
How do you do? It's so nice to meet you. Good evening, Throckmorton.
Well.
Hello, Eve.
Well. Why didn't you tell me Miss Goodwin and you were such old friends, Throckmorton?
Well,
Since he's been on the school board, we've seen a good deal of each other, Mrs. Ransom.
I see.
Well, well. Nothing so much fun as a Halloween party, is there? Or is there? You don't have the right technique for apple bobbing, Judge.
Oh.
You have to follow the apple right down to the bottom and get your teeth in it.
Oh, I could never do that. I'd ruin my hair. I wouldn't mind. Let me try it.
Well.
Yes. I'll show you, Eve. Stand back, everybody.
Wait a minute, Gildy. Wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, you will now witness a death-defying expedition by Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, diving into 1 foot of water from the stupendous height of 6 inches.
Oh, Horace, you'll simply scream. I declare I think you're funnier than Bob Hope.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that.
Yeah, neither would I. Look, I'll show you now how to get the apple.
How are you doing, Gildy?
Mrs. Rockmorton, come up for air. You'll drown.
Don't worry about it, Mrs. Ransom. He has wonderful breath control.
Well.
Gildersleeve, you look exactly like a roast pig.
I know what we ought to do now. Let's tell ghost stories.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Eve. I know a real thriller.
Oh, ghost stories never scare me.
Well, it'll scare you if we turn out the lights. Turn off the lights, will you, Judge?
All right.
There.
I'm still not a bit scared.
You will be. Once there was an old haunted house way out on the edge of a swamp. There was a ghost in the house who was trying to find his murdered wife. And he used to go through the house every night at midnight saying, ooh,
ooh. Ooh, I'm frightened already.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous myself.
Oh, poo.
Well, one night, some hunters were passing near the house when it got real dark. And not knowing the reputation of the place, they decided to spend the night there. So they went up to the door, and just then...
Oh, Throckmorton, this is silly.
I think it's fun.
I know a game that's lots more fun in the dark than telling ghost stories.
Well, what is it, Leela?
Sardines.
I never heard of it.
Never heard of sardines?
No.
Oh, well, the way you play it, one person hides in the dark, and then all the others try to find him. Or her. And when you find the person, you don't say anything. You just stand as close to him as you possibly can till all the others find you. That's sardines.
Oh, well, I can see it's got possibilities.
Yeah, let's try it. Miss Goodwin, why don't you be the first to hide?
Why, Horace, I suggested the game.
Now, you can hide next.
Yeah, very fair, Judge. Go ahead and hide, Eve, while I count 50.
Well, I don't know any places, but... Oh, all right.
All right. 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. All right, Eve, here we come. Who left that chair there?
Oh, doggone it!
The judge is having a little trouble, too, I can see. What's this?
Now, Throckmorton.
Who is it?
You ought to know.
What am I supposed to do now?
Stand close to me.
Can't stand any closer, can I?
What's going on here, anyhow?
Hey, no fair turning on the lights.
Throckmorton, Gildersleeve.
Now, Leela.
Well, if I'd known there were this kind of people in the game, I never would have suggested it.
Mrs. Ransom.
Don't you try to shush me.
I wonder if you'd mind taking me home, Judge.
But, Eve, the party's just begun.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's all over.
Now, wait a minute. Leela, please. Eve, please. Leela.
Oh, who invented Halloween anyway?
Don't understand.
I understand very well, Throckmorton. Take me home, please.
But they've all gone, Leela. I want to explain.
There's nothing to explain. I turn the lights on and I find you pawing that school teacher.
Leela, if you could just listen.
Let go of my arm, please, Throckmorton. Will you open the door for me?
Oh, God.
Thank you. Now, do you want me to walk home by myself?
I'll take you if you're really determined. Leela.
School teacher. She must be a fine school teacher.
Well, she is.
Oh, that's right. Stick up for her.
I'm not sticking up for her. She didn't do anything. I thought she was you.
Throckmorton, that's a ridiculous barefaced fib. She's wearing Chanel number 5, and I always use Shalimar.
Well. Leela, I don't know one perfume from another. To me, they both smell good.
I don't care to hear any more, Throckmorton. Oh, look out!
Oh, my goodness.
Good night, Throckmorton.
You can't leave me here in this. Wait till I get my hands on Leroy.
Don't blame Leroy, Gildy. Happy Halloween.
Music heard on this program was under the direction of Claude Sweeten. This is Ken Carpenter speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to be with us again next week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
The Great One.
This year, thousands of women all over the country are discovering what a special help with wartime meals is the product called Kraft Dinner. A box of Kraft Dinner gives them enough delicious macaroni and cheese for 4 people at only a few cents a serving. They get 2 boxes of Kraft Dinner for only 1 single ration point. And with Kraft Dinner, they cook that delicious main dish in just 7 minutes. In every Kraft Dinner box, there's a special macaroni that cooks fluffy tender in boiling water and an envelope of Kraft grated. With this handy Kraft grated, you whisk cheese goodness through and through the fluffy macaroni in a jiffy. A very smart trick is to shape the hot Kraft Dinner in a ring mold for a minute or two, unmold on a platter, and serve with creamed vegetables or fish or a little meat. But just as is, Kraft Dinner gives you a mighty fine main dish. Try this 7-minute macaroni and cheese soon. At your food store, be on the alert for point-saving Kraft Dinner. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's right, by Kraft. Come to your house while you're sleeping and do horrible things and rearrange the furniture. That was the Great Gildersleeve, the last of our 3 Halloween parties. But the party does not stop. No, no, no. Tomorrow night, 6:30 Eastern, we got the Edgar Allan Poe, sort of a tribute. We'll have a Cavalcade of America. We've got Vincent Price in The Pit and the Pendulum. And a reading by, not Robert, but but Bela Lugosi, The Telltale Heart.
Yeah.
Sarah, you'll like this. This is different.
Okay.
Yep.
It's epic, and it's classic, and it's Lugosi and Price tonight.
I'll attempt to listen. Of course, on Saturdays, I'm a little preoccupied getting ready for the horrible horror at 8 p.m.
More than a little preoccupied, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a preview of the post. There we go. That's a preview for tomorrow night's poll.
Yep.
I want the yodeling.
Yodeling Andy.
Yeah, the yodeling version of the Raven.
Was that Andy Devine? Who was that?
No.
No,
it should have been.
That was the yodeling pickle. That was the yodeling pickle. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right.
That wraps it up. We'll see you tomorrow night. 6:30
Good night.
Eastern.
Blay.
And after that, after we're done, it's Hoodable Hooders, Southern Guy of the Ghoul. That's all tomorrow.
That guy, yeah.
Ta-ta.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him, too.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
bring a pickle.
Can you dig it?
Close the door. What the heck? Was that R2-D2?
That's kind of unique.
I hear R2-D2. What the blazes?
R2-D2?
Yeah.
Something was very digital going on there.
Yeah, it was weird and freaky and creepy. I liked it.
It wasn't me. I don't know what, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yes, you are weird and freaky and creepy. We love you.
And digital. And you're digital.
And you're digital.
Okay.
Digital gar.
On the macaroni and cheese commercial, did you hear? They were talking about ration points kicking back to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, there was a lot of
rations. I wonder if they rationed ration points.
Yep.
Yes. They just didn't give them out to anybody, you know.
No. There was my grandparents on my father's side were neighborhood known because every Halloween they had the extravaganza of Halloween parties. And I remember one time, and I know I've told this story to you guys before. Oh, that's nice. Was going to visit my grandparents as a kid. This is 1967, 68, 69. I'm a real youngster then. And seeing my aunt suspended on a gallows, hanging, swinging.
Ah,
she was
nice.
She had support, the truss or whatever you want to call that.
She had a truss?
Yeah, they would.
Really?
They built an entire scaffold. You went
too.
Inside the house. Yeah. Went inside the house, and they had every room was some type of staged event thing. You know, there was a monster, someone there to jump out. The precursor to the Halloween kid houses events that are out there now. Like I said, this is 1960, in the late 60s. So it's always been fun. Always been a lot of fun, the Halloween times in my family.
That's good. And yet you...
I abstain. Yes, I do.
Yeah, you turn into a mall.
Yeah, I do. The lights go out and I unplug because unfortunately there are people out there that like to harm animals and maybe other people during this time. So I go, you know what? I'm Halloween 364 days of the year. I'll give that one day to other people. So.
Well,
Gar, you don't have any animals.
That's okay. He still
loves
them.
I'm not hurting animals. Other people are. They
sacrifice.
They hurt dogs. It's really bad.
Oh, so you hide from the people who are herders. Okay.
Stay away. I don't plug in for that day. Yeah, I stay away from the evil. Yes, so to speak.
Good. Evil sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that that happened. I don't understand that. I love animals. I always have. And to understand that people are being cruel to them is just beyond me. Beyond me. I don't know. During our broadcast, I was able to create a poster board for my – we were having a problem where last week I kept looking down to read the notes, and my producer friend said, How about we make a board to your left and it's all at eye level. You're not looking down anymore. I was like, okay, there you go. So I just put that together during our broadcast tonight. I have a tabletop easel and everything.
What? You're not going to be reaching down for your script for the evening? That's un-gar-like.
Heresy.
Yeah.
That's un-gar-like.
Un-gar-like. That's right. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. That was garlic. I was thinking of garlic. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was garlic. Bad. Yeah. That too.
And we'll never be un-garlic. I mean, you know, we have to protect garlic against the vampires. I like garlic. I'm a garlic guy. I enjoy it. Ghouls don't have a problem with garlic. That's another relative or something.
I don't know. If somebody breathes a lot of it in your face, you're going to feel like Dracula.
Well, that's when you offer them some garlic, and then yeah, it's not a problem.
Yeah, I guess you could do that.
Like, I enjoy the heck out of garlic salt. That's some good stuff.
I seen him chug
good
a whole bottle
eggs.
Of it.
Who?
You.
Who?
Who?
Me? Chug
yeah.
a whole bottle of garlic?
Salt. Yeah, garlic salt.
Oh, salt.
Did,
oh, God.
Didn't
well.
I see you hitting a bottle of garlic salt?
I don't think I've ever imbibed that much, but, you know.
Well, maybe you should try.
What?
Don't
now,
knock
for
it,
zombies.
Leo, try it.
Yeah. Now, for zombies, to incapacitate a zombie, aren't you supposed to put salt in their mouth and that calms them down really quick?
Kills them, I thought, in some mythos.
Well, how can you kill what's already dead? Hello.
I don't know. Practice.
I think it incapacitates them. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Or they can't pass it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they can't. I don't know. No more brains for you. Have some salt. There you go.
There you go.
I guess. Whatever they do. There's so much fun about learning the mythos of all the Halloween-type monsters. In one of our episodes tonight, a woman was talking about a goblin. And goblins came to us from the Middle Ages.
Yep.
And they were like mysterious household spirits. And but
oh,
they were
usually,
also, they,
usually when someone's having a midlife crisis, they just, you know, buy a convertible. They don't turn into goblins.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that people turn into goblins. I think goblins are goblins at the onset. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. Similar creatures to goblins are leprechauns, dwarves. Now, I don't understand where a dwarf would be. That's more of a physical condition. But gnomes, imps, leprechauns are somehow tied into the goblin family in some way, shape, or form.
I don't know where that comes from. Don't know.
They also have the ability to shapeshift, which is always handy.
Who, goblins?
Yeah.
Goblins.
Like from a square to a hexagon?
Sure. Okay.
That's a shapeshift.
Uh-huh.
Trapezoid.
I shapeshift Rhombus. When I go down to the buffet. That's when I shapeshift.
There you go. That'll do it every time, huh?
Every time.
Was it ever explained in that little bit of the Charlotte Greenwood program why the boy wouldn't take the girl to the party? Was there some? I thought there was something, but I never heard it.
She was a goof.
Because she was a goof. You're a goof.
She was a goof.
No Halloween
You're a goof.
For you. Okay.
No Halloween.
You're a goof. Really? Was that it? That was the entire explanation?
I don't know. I made that up.
Well, like I said, I was like, you know, Iron Lung. He said, I'm going to, you know, help out this gal who got the bubonic plague or something. Or I don't know. I couldn't
bubonic
make it out.
Plague.
I don't think if I knew a girl with a bubonic plague, I'd be inviting her to a dance or a party.
But Dave, everything's
I think I would
better
stay
with
away from her.
Everything's better with bubonic on it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, see,
going back
it's crazy
again,
because
man.
Yep.
Yeah. The,
that was
the
a crafty
bubonic
joke.
Plague. Yeah, the bubonic plague gave us the plague doctors. And now if you go to the party stores, There's actually a plague doctor suit you can get with the crazy mask.
Okay.
It took COVID to bring back the plague doctor. What
yeah,
a great
yeah.
world.
Yeah. Bring out your dad.
Just
bring out
time.
Your dad. Bring out. I'm not dead yet. That guy, yeah. We love that
he
guy.
He says he's not dead yet. Well, he's not doing very well. I can't take him like this. Well, can't
yeah.
you help?
He'll be dead in a few hours. I'm feeling better.
Yeah.
I think I can walk home now.
Yeah.
I actually have a little ornament that you would hang on, say, your Christmas tree. I don't know why, but and it's the plague doctor. Want one? And I showed it last week on Horrible Horror.
This little ornament. Got to get one of those off to the CW. We've been using the plague doctor as her image.
We don't know what planet CW's on.
We
have no information.
We have no idea.
The downside of living in secrecy.
Right. She didn't get a Lost in Space robot. She didn't get Robbie the robot. She missed out on so much stuff because we don't know where she is.
She's in mortal fear of being associated with us publicly.
Well,
now
that
I understand.
That. That's understandable.
Yeah, there you go. I'm there.
I mean, that just makes
Gar,
sense, you know.
Will you be with us Sunday, Gar, for the War of the Worlds?
I don't know. It depends on how I feel. I have, as you know, I'm playing with migraines and stuff. And so...
you need better companions.
I was kind of...
You need better companions than migraines.
Than us.
Yes.
Well, than us, too, yeah.
I have a plague doctor of migraines. So, I mean, I was fortunate enough to be with you guys tonight. It was a little touch and go before I called in.
Who'd you touch?
I had.
What? I missed that one.
Touch
and go.
Oh.
It was go and touch and Van Gogh and, yeah, all them goes, yeah. Goes there. Candygram for Mongo. All that, yeah.
Van Johnson?
Landshark.
Yeah. Candygram. Oh boy,
Dale,
we will need
2 hours for Sunday, Dale.
Okay.
2 hours. Oh.
Cuz only because the show itself as it stands without interruptions is like 1 hour and 15 minutes, like 75 minutes. So.
Yikes. Yeah, that'll be fine.
And Sunday is it yet another iteration of War of the Worlds?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Okay. With Billy. Yes, okay. Billy.
Yep, but a little bit different.
Billy Shatner.
William
Shatner?
I don't know
what you're going to do next year, Dave. You've been pulling magic tricks every year.
You know what? We've had six. This will be the sixth different version, isn't it?
Yeah. I hope I didn't do too bad formatting for this weekend.
No.
Fun little.
I ran across a weirdie that's kind of tied to old time radio. Is we've heard Sherlock Holmes mysteries from radio. There's actually, and I think I sent you guys this, there's actually a Sherlock Holmes versus Dracula little thing out there.
Yeah, we played that.
Yeah, that
yeah,
was
we
crazy.
Did. Actually, we did one
we did.
Year.
It was cool.
And when Dracula left London to go elsewhere, he turned it over to the doctor, Van Helsing, and said, well, we've done all we can. There you go. It's now in the hands of Van Helsing. And, yeah, crazy. All kinds of fun stuff on the radio.
Indeed.
You betcha.
You know Jim Barberoni.
Well, I'm kind of wiped out. I don't know about you guys.
I'm pooped.
Yeah.
Yep. So I suppose.
Further proof that we're getting older and older and older.
I had friends that used to You know, when I used to, we used to, at the time we break up now is the time we used to get together before. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
That's a sign of age right there, kids.
I'm telling
you. Horrible Horror lasts up until midnight, sometimes even past that. And sometimes I'm on my last little erg of energy to make sure we do a curtain call. I have no idea what that is.
All right.
We need to
turn on the house lights, and no holding hands, and turn on the three spotlights, and under the middle one appears the one, the only, Jimmy Durante.
There you go. All right. Good night, folks.
You let me hold your hand last night.
Good night.
That was last night.
Good night.
Fine.
It's time to say good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
What for this sake but good night?
Silly day.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
And ink a dink a do.
Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Na 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 na.
Mm-hmm.